Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni with Frederick Patnaud. We have a great podcast for you today, right, Fred?
Oh, yeah, we do. I think it's going to be one of our best ones, I think, in terms of content.
Oh, boy. Dude, we just set ourselves up.
Well, we had a podcast a while back that was very popular and was about the stuff that people do, health habits that are kind of a time waster, in my opinion. And we disagreed on some of the ones, and people join in the discussion and shared their health habits they think are not worth it. So today we're going to do the opposite. We're going to do the health habits that have the highest leverage that can give you the best results if you're only going to do a few things. What should you spend your time on?
Yes, this is like that 80-20 rule. I'm sure you guys have heard about it, where 80% of the things you do will give you 20% of the results. And there's that 20% of the things you do that will give you the 80% of the results. So these are the hacks. These are the 20% of the things that we feel will give you that extra added 80% benefit, which is not even extra added. It's like all the benefit, right? It's almost all of it.
I think so. I mean, because people, like we talked about before, people spend a lot of time and energy trying to improve their health, and you can get lost in that world. Trying to think about every single niche theory and it's not just your time, it's your attention, it's your focus. You're losing your focus if you're trying to do too many things.
Yeah, I mean, like if you're concerned about, you know, whether or not, you know, spinach or romaine lettuce is a better green, I mean, that's like real small change compared to some of the things we're gonna talk about today. You know, and if you don't have these things, you know, in your wheelhouse right now, then like I would consider thinking about some of the things that you do believe about health. You know, those little tiny things like, I don't know, should I eat carbohydrates or protein after exercising, and all these like little tiny minutia kind of things. If you're not doing these things we're going to mention today, then I would really focus on those and erase a lot of that little stuff, and, you know, the petty stuff from your head, and get the real results.
Sounds good. So who's going to start, Kevin?
Why don't you start, Fred?
All right. I will start with a very basic one, and it's eat a plant-based diet. So plant-based means plant-based. So it means your food is essentially vegetarian, vegan, but whole foods. I'm talking about whole foods, not refined soy foods and any other stuff that the vegans might eat. Just fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, anything in that category kind of is whole plant foods. So I think all the research is kind of going in that direction, that plant foods are the foods that protect you from disease. And also they're very low on the food chain. So when you consume a plant-based diet, you're consuming foods low on the food chain, so low in environmental contaminants. Even if they're not organic, it's not like an animal accumulating pesticides in their tissues and other contaminants, and you don't have to worry about the level of contaminants in the ocean and how the fish are getting it. I'm not saying everybody needs to be a vegan. That's not what I'm saying, but that essentially your diet should, on a day by day basis, meal by meal basis, should be a plant-based diet. And then whatever you throw in on top of that is kind of your decision.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in and say primarily plant-based, because for me, you know, over the diet experience that I've had, is it really seems that I function well on a lower carbohydrate plant, you know, primarily plant-based diet with some lean meats, as a you know, fish or chicken or you know, fowl kind of foods, and so steak seems to be something that I eat every once in a while, but it still seems to be doesn't really work that well with me. So primarily plant based, I think is really the way to go.
I think what I personally do, and maybe I've never shared it with people, is I tend to eat vegan at home. You know, that's kind of my thing. Like I don't buy meat, except I might buy some organic chicken if I have people coming over and they're not vegetarian, so I might make that. But I don't buy animal products usually, unless it's somebody coming over and sharing a meal with me. But what I make for myself is essentially like low fat, plant based. That's kind of what I eat. But then with that kind of philosophy, I'm kind of a flexitarian now. that I see it more for social reasons. So whatever, I don't think that for my body type, eating animal products is giving me like health benefits, at least from my own personal experiments with it, but it's giving me social benefits. So that may be this similar to your approach, or maybe not similar at all, but in the ultimate outcome, maybe we end up eating a similar amount of animal products. I'm not sure. But for me, it's really, I see it as stuff that I eat maybe sometimes outside the house or, you know, probably on a weekly basis, but not on a daily basis.
I'd say we probably eat a little bit more animal protein than that, but it definitely is a focus for me, because if I eat a lot of carbohydrates, even if it's rice or potatoes or even squash and things like that, I do eat that. I want to be very clear about that. I do eat those things. I'm not like into this paleo, like full on paleo thing. If I eat a lot of carbohydrate, I do tend to hold weight. So for me, that's something that it's nice to do. Eat a lot of greens, a lot of fibrous vegetables, not really a lot of fruit, but I eat a decent amount of fruit, particularly in the morning, and then have some sort of lean protein, not every evening, but pretty much half and half during the week, which is pretty much kind of what you look at. If you look at the Blue Zones, I mean, they had meat, you know, maybe two times a week, three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into number two. And this is one of my favorite ones. And you guys know this if you've been listening to me for a while. So it's assess it. And what that means is get your blood tested and get it tested in a functional medicine way, so you can determine if the things that you're doing are actually working. And so if you get your blood tested and you find out that your vitamin D is perfect, and you get your blood tested again, and your vitamin D is still perfect, and you never supplemented, well, then that means you don't need to spend any money on vitamin D supplements. So that in terms of the monetary side, that's going to give your pocketbook or your wallet a big break, and that's going to give you benefit on that side. And on the health side, you'll actually know if the things that you're doing and the diet that you're actually eating is actually working. Because, you know, if the diet's not working, I just was sat down with a friend of mine and looked at his blood test. So I'm not a doctor, but I do know, and I can point him in certain directions. And I looked at his blood test. And I said, well, what's happening right now is that the diet that you're eating is causing you a little bit of inflammation. And, you know, there are some things down the road that will happen if you continue to have this type of diet. And so, you know, here are just some small dietary recommendations that I suggest. And so, you know, using the blood test, you know, in getting the right tests, you can actually determine, if what you're doing is working. And that's a huge win, because that'll give you a much better focus than kind of running around. I don't like to use the chicken with the head cut off kind of terminology, but running around, you know, kind of not really knowing what's going on with your own bio-individuality.
Well, I think, Kevin, it's kind of standard advice to go to a doctor once a year, right? So, I mean, most people would agree with that. At some point, as you get maybe in your 30s, your mid-30s, early 40s, you know, going to a doctor once a year. But what you're saying here is doing a little bit more than this and checking it also, not just, you know, looking at your health in general, but looking at specific markers like you've talked about before, and then assessing that against maybe the diet or the fitness program or changes that you've made, because people like us tend to make more of those changes. You eat a diet, you eat a different diet. So you get to see what effects it has on your body. Someone eating the same diet over and over will essentially, they just want to know what's up with their health. But we want to know if what changes we've made, you know, what effects they're having.
And do it in a preventative way. So like with my friend, I mean, he's very low risk for a lot of these things right now, because he's young, he's in his 40s. But, you know, if once he gets into his 50s and 60s, if he continues to do what he does, those numbers get worse. And then the risk really becomes dire, almost, in this case, because inflammation, heart disease, like, you know, that's where he would be headed if he doesn't make dietary changes. So it's a very proactive way to look into the future. I mean, it's kind of crystal ballish to kind of look into the future if you're starting to see some of these numbers get out of whack, and then to be proactive on changing them.
Sounds good. Next one is one of mine. Maybe you'll agree or not, Kevin, but it's sort of about similar to the plant-based diet, but it's about not eating cheese and dairy in general, or just kind of, I'm not saying being a vegan or avoiding cheese and so on all the time. But I'm saying, as a general rule, most people tend to do a lot better, especially by avoiding cheese and dairy in general. Myself, I don't buy those products. I might have a little once in a while, but occasionally I'll have like a chai latte or, you know, like I said, I'm flexible when I go to other people's houses. But in general, I eat more ethnic food when I go out, so it's not heavy in dairy, except for Indian food. And I stay clear of that, and I feel so much better. And I mean, I think most people who start on this path tend to give up dairy at some point. It's sort of a common ground around the different health philosophies. And I do think it makes a lot of sense, considering that it's quite a concentrated product. You know, it's meant to grow a baby calf to a full cow. So it's quite intense, and people eat way too much of it, especially in the USA.
Yeah, it has a lot of fat, and I think that, and again, we're not looking at this, we're not like a low fat. Well, I mean, Fred, you'd probably disagree with me, but I mean, I don't really look at like low fat, high carb, or that sort of thing. But it is a concentrated food. There is a lot of fat, and the thing about cheese is that it's so good, you can eat so much of it, and you kind of lose track about how much, you know, you're actually eating. And a good lesson that I do, if you know, we do buy cheese, and if we have a little cocktail party or at our house or something like that, people hanging out, you know, we'll buy some cheese, and I've made it a point to always look at the number of calories per serving, and it just blows me away sometimes. You know, I'm just like, wow, like I really should only have like one or two pieces and then move off. And if you are going to eat cheese, the goat's dairy is actually going to be better. It's not going to be as inflammatory. Sheep's dairy are actually going to be better.
Sounds good. You want to go for the next one?
Yeah, let's do this. I think cutting out sugar is a really big one. And I mean sneaky sugars, like sugars that you're just like, oh, I love my chocolate, but you don't realize how many calories are actually in that chocolate bar. And I don't mean fruit sugars either. I mean, look, I don't know anyone, maybe Fred, you do, but I don't know anyone who's gotten fat off of eating fruit. It's just not something that is kind of a realistic thing. And I think people are pointing the finger a little bit too strong at fructose as a sugar in fruit, because I think that we're kind of good. I think that we can eat plenty of fruit and still be really healthy. But looking for all those extra hidden sugars, I think will be a really big benefit to you in your health journey.
Great. The next one is one of mine. Maybe Kevin, you disagree a little bit on that, but it's about avoiding oil in general. But I think most people, especially with the popularity of olive oil, tend to eat way too much oil in general. And that's the reason why restaurant food is very unhealthy. Usually is because it contains so much oil. Things are fried. The chef will add additional oil before serving. It's just everything is bathing in oil. And the problem with oil is that it's very concentrated in calories. And you don't need all of that fat all at once. You need it in whole foods. And they've done a lot of studies, and they've always found that fat is the thing that we don't notice in food that's adding calories. When people eat a meal that's very sugary, yes, it's not healthy, but you can taste the sugar. It kind of gets disgusting after a while. But fat is just, the body doesn't register the calories in fat, because we're actually genetically programmed to eat more fat because it's a concentrated source of calories. So oil is just so concentrated, and it's not healthy in general, the way it's been presented to us. Olive oil is not better for your health than, it is better for your health than, let's say, butter fat, but it's not good in itself for your heart. It's all the studies done on olive oil have just been totally misinterpreted. So I'm not saying, you know, never eat any fat or never consume a little bit of oil. But in general, people tend to eat way too much of that stuff.
And I'll agree with you on this. You know, I have a friend who puts, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 scoops of coconut oil in his smoothie in the morning. And I'm just like, man, come on, what are you doing? You know, I don't even know how many calories this is here. And so for me, that's, you know, I'm just like, man, you know, yes, you know, coconut oil does have its health benefits. I think they're a little overhyped, to be honest with you. So, you know, and some people might argue with me on that, but But I think it's there's a little bit of marketing there, and then there's a little bit of truth. So less. I'm not going to say avoid oil, but I'm going to say less oil is absolutely better. So if you were to put, like, if you were to take a bottle of olive oil and put it onto your salad, and you're going to go across like three or four times, just go across once or twice. You know, the oil will spread over the salad nicely without you having to add even more, and you'd be surprised at how just great it tastes regardless. So.
Yeah, I find now oil is just not something that I actually enjoy, you know? like I enjoy maybe when it carries the flavors, but just adding oil on top of something for no reason doesn't appeal to me anymore.
Yeah. All right, next up, greens. I mean, for me, what greens mean to me is yes, salads, but my green smoothie in the morning, that is like my thing. I'm here in Boulder, Colorado right now. And I'm jonesing because I, you know, we don't have a car, and when breakfast time comes around, you know, I haven't been able to walk over to a place that's close enough where we are. So for me, I've been jonesing, and I've just been having some fruit for breakfast, and you know, we just went out today, but this green smoothie in the morning, this will dramatically improve your health results. Victoria Butenko, who has done a study I've mentioned on this podcast, again, she took about 40 people, and the only thing that she changed in their diet was she gave them a green smoothie. Their health markers increased almost across the board for each person who stuck with it. So that green smoothie is so important in the morning, getting those greens in and not really overdoing it with, you know, bacon and sausage and, you know, even grass-fed butter and all that sort of stuff.
All right, next one is eat some beans. I'm a big fan of beans. I love beans. I really got into beans maybe a few years ago, and I think I've been eating beans almost every day. Literally, I have to think of days when I don't eat beans. So I cook beans from scratch. I eat probably between a cup and a cup and a half of beans a day. All kinds of beans, but my favorite are black beans, big giant navy lima beans, the Greek ones, also red kidney beans. I mean, they're all good. So why beans? I mean, they're excellent for your blood sugar. They're full of antioxidants. They're probably one of the better carbs you can eat. And it's been found that all of the long-lived cultures in the world eat beans. So, you know, let's follow their lead and eat some beans. So I think that's one of the best things you can do for your health is just, you know, eat beans instead of other cooked starches.
Next up, we have 20 minutes of exercise. I know Fred wants to talk about this a little bit, but for me, that you know, the book, the first 20 minutes was such a great book because it really goes into the science of just understanding how quickly that or how much that first 20 minutes is important, and then the diminishing returns after that. You know, there's just diminishing returns. That's really what just happens. And so knowing a quick body weight routine, anywhere from 4 minutes to 15 to 20, that includes maybe some squats, maybe some arm push-ups, something like that. Maybe some, if you can do burpees or that sort of thing, just to really get your heart going, you know, is really one of those like gems of you know, true healthy people. They have this like little quick routine that they can do just about anywhere with no excuses, and that's when you're going to get the most results, is within that sort of 20 minutes of doing that type of full body type workout.
Awesome. Do you do that every day, Kevin, or
not every day? No. I do it when, like, at times like this. You know, I'll do a quick little run through of a workout. If I don't go for a run today, I might go for a run today, but I'll do something quick and just kind of buzz through, you know, five or six exercises, and it feels great, and it's done fast, and it's surprising. You get just about as much result, even looking into the science of it, as you would if you went for a 30, 40, 50-minute run.
And people often don't exercise because they think of the time, right? I need an hour,
enough, yeah.
I need half an hour. I mean, just do 20 push-ups. Just do a few squats. You know, it's still going to be better than not doing any. And just like you mentioned, you get most results in the first 20 minutes, and after that, you get marginal results in terms of your health. You do get results in terms of improving your fitness, but in terms of, you know, increasing your lifespan, it's really the first 20 minutes that matter. I think the next one kind of goes in that direction. It's also something we talked about in the last podcast, which is your non-exercise activity. So walking, just pacing around like you do, Kevin, madly while you're on the phone, things like that. Just moving your body more instead of sitting. So sit less, walk more, walk at least 10,000 steps a day. I do walk at least 12,000 steps a day. Now it's my goal. And I love it. I mean, walking is such a great activity because you can combine it with so many other things like running errands or going on an ice walk. And you don't think of it as exercise, but it is awesome for your body.
One thing that I like to talk about, and I used to talk about this with my personal training clients, is the late night eating. For me, that's something that that a lot of people do, and I don't tend to do it. So for me, it's kind of a foreign thing. But when I started talking with my clients, I was realizing that a lot of people they'd eat, and then they'd eat again, and they'd eat like popcorn late at night, or they'd have chips, or they'd have they'd literally raid their cabinet. And late night eating, I have a real quick and easy kind of pattern interrupt, if you want to call it, for late night eating. And it's real simple. All you have to do is, the minute you get that urge to late night eat, you go and get yourself a cup of tea, and you don't want to have like green tea or anything like that in the evening, but get a cup of chamomile tea, peppermint tea, holy basil. These are all great teas that you can drink at night. They'll still, peppermint depends on how you react to it, but definitely the chamomile and the holy basil will definitely chill you out, calm you down a bit. And it'll replace the need for you to eat. And you'd be surprised at how good it works.
Would you think that having a small piece of fruit, like a low sugar fruit, like an apple, would be okay? I find that
it helps
if I get the munchies late at night. Not the munchies, I guess that's something different. Is it? Can I say that in English, Kevin? and not be talking about drugs?
Okay. Yes, you can say that in English. It's fine, yeah. They'll be suspicious, Fred, but you can say it.
All right. But the thing about the apple
is that most people when they're craving is they're just craving something like bad for you. So like, I wonder if the apple is actually that satisfying. The tea seems to just work no matter what. But is the apple still that satisfying? I mean, do you eat the apple and you're like, all right, well now I want some salted peanut butter on it, you know?
Yeah, well, I find it works for me when I want to eat something and go to bed after, and just an apple and maybe a small glass of low sugar or no sugar almond milk or something like that.
Yeah. Fred is biased, though. Keep in mind, he used to have a newsletter called Eat an Apple.
Yes, I love apples.
What do we got? Two more?
I think so. I've got the one on fasting that I wanted to cover. So fasting is an incredible health discipline and a powerful thing you can do for your health in so many different ways. So you can do a long fast, you can do intermittent fasting by occasionally skipping breakfast or not eating late at night. You can do intermittent fasting by fasting one day a week. There's something for you in fasting. Maybe it's just that once in your life, you're going to do a 5-day fast, or occasionally you're going to skip a meal. But it's been shown repeatedly that all of these things, all of these forms of fasting, can really help you. Not everybody can do it, but most people can benefit from some form of fasting. So I encourage you to research fasting, intermittent fasting, and experiment a little bit with it, because it's really something that I found that made a huge difference in my health.
And you guys know us by now. We really like water fasting, and water fasting is one of those things. You don't have to, I mean, short water fast, you do it for a day. That's, for most people, that's cool. If you're diabetic, do not. But for most people doing fasting, for a day, water fasting for a day is okay. You can do that on your own. But anything longer than that, a supervised water fast is advised. But we love this. We love water fasting. It's a great reset button. And it's something that, I do now a day, probably every 2 weeks now. So it's really something that I think is really valuable. All right, then last one. We have sleep. Get your sleep, guys. Sleep is known to set off a whole bunch of beneficial things for your body as you're sleeping. A lot of things are repairing and your body's resetting. And so if you don't get sleep, well, it doesn't happen. And your mind gets all messed up. I know that's what hits me first. It doesn't really have anything about my body, but my mind gets all cloudy when I don't get enough sleep. But I know that's a sure sign that something's not working right.
And sleep, I mean, so many things can be said about sleep and how to optimize it. Maybe this is a topic I think maybe we should do a podcast on, but getting a little extra sleep definitely won't hurt most people.
All right.
So that's it. I think we covered it, Kevin.
I think we covered all of it. I'm sure there are more. Maybe if you guys have some, you can post on the blog or let us know by email. And please, 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 please make sure if you like this podcast, if you like us or if you don't like us, whatever, go ahead and post, go onto iTunes and write a review for us. Do us a solid and help us get this information out to more people.
See you next week.
Bye.
Renegade Health Radio.